But our mission at Oz Neighbor Church, we, coming up, let it warm up, but we pursue a relationship with God by embracing His promises, encountering His presence, and empowering His people. So it'll come up here in a second, you'll see it, but that's our mission, that's where we're headed. And I shared with you that's our mission, and then I shared with you our values that support that, of why we're doing that, and then I shared with you our vision of how we're actually going to get that done. And so the vision for 2018 is the word. Anyone remember? I shared it two Sundays ago, and Pastor Greg talked on it last Sunday. Anyone remember the word for this year? Connect. So 2018, we're going to connect. And I feel specifically for us as Osborne, we're going to connect to His word. We're going to connect to His body and connect to His world in need. Those three things. And so we're going to be talking about those three for these next couple months. And this morning, we're going to be talking about connecting to His word. So that's where we're headed this morning, is talking about how do we connect to His word. And before I share with you my points for this morning, I better get that up too, is I want to ask you a general question, which I kind of gave you just the answer right now, so you should be able to give me the answer. But, oh, come on, iPad. Hold on, give me 1 second. Technical difficulties everywhere. There we go. All right. So I gave you where we're headed this morning. Let me ask you the question that you can just now repeat to me. How do we grow our faith? How do we grow in our relationship with God? What's one of the most primary, foundational, one of the most powerful, and one of the most effective ways we can grow our faith? Connect to His word. Thank you. You guys are paying attention. So we're going to connect to His word. Now my next question is, how do we connect to His word? What does that mean? How do we connect to His word? Well, let me tell you before they put it up there. We're going to connect to His word, don't change the slide yet, is through RPGs. Anybody know what an RPG is? Anyone have any military background? Anybody know what an RPG is? Rocket-propelled grenades. That's not what that's, I'm going to use that acronym for that. RPGs, or rocket-propelled grenades. Yes, the God's word is a sword, right? It's living and active. It's our one offensive weapon. We have all, this whole armor of God that defends us from the enemy. But we have something that's our offense, right? It's God's word is offensive. But I'm not using the RPGs, meaning rocket-propelled grenades. And most of you had no idea what RPG was anyway, so it's not going to be helpful for you. But if you know that acronym, RPG, that's where we're headed this morning. How do we connect to God's word? Through RPGs. And I think there is something up there now that says RPG. And that's through reading, praying, and go. Read, pray, go. With RPGs, ready, read, pray, go. We got to read God's word. We got to pray God's word. And we got to go do God's word. So that's where we're headed this morning, these three points. How do we connect to God's word? Well, we got to spend time getting exposed to it. We've got to read it. Then we've got to learn how to pray it. We got to learn how to go do it. So first things first, to read. There's a verse I want us to read so you can get your Bibles. We're talking about connecting to God's word. Hopefully you have a Bible you brought, a phone with an app you brought. If not, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. Turn there. It'll be up on the screen as well, but it's good for you to get practice to connect to God's word. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, verse 34. And we're going to read about how important it is to get into God's word, connect to it just by reading it. So Joshua 8:34, it's up there. Some of you can read it up there. You can read it in front of you. It says this, "And afterward he, Joshua, read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them." We'll stop there. So you see Joshua, he's reading everything Moses wrote down as the book of the law. Does anybody know what Moses, what books Moses wrote? Genesis, the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Bible, Torah, right? That's what Moses wrote down. It says that Joshua, if you want to read the verse before, in context, you can read a couple of verses before. Joshua, they'd already defeated Jericho. They went to the battle of Ai, and they lost that battle, if you remember why. One guy did not listen to God's word, disobeyed, and they lost the battle. Then they repented, they actually killed the guy, and then went back, fought again, defeated Ai. Now they're getting further into the promised land, and they go to these two mountains. Just like Moses had told Joshua to go do back in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Moses had said, Joshua, when you become the leader, when you're in the promised land, get in front of all the people, go to these two mountaintops and proclaim everything that all that I'm commanding you. And so he says to do this. And so it says that Joshua goes up on top of one of the mountains. In fact, I think there's a picture. You can show it up there. Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. That's present day. That's what it looks like. But you can see the two mountains and the whole valley below and all these, you know, modern day buildings that are there now. But back then, thousands of years ago, Joshua led the Israelites. There are millions of people. And he says he had half of them in front of one mountain and half of them in front of the other mountain. And Joshua went up on top of one of the mountains, sacrificed, and then he used it like an amphitheater. It says it actually works. You could speak up there, and it projects because of the way it's all the acoustics, that they could, these millions of people could hear Joshua. And he's in front of these two mountains, and he reads every word that Moses wrote down. The first five books of the Bible. That didn't happen in 1 hour. That didn't happen in an hour and a half church service. This was days. Days and days of people standing there listening. And it wasn't just the men. It wasn't just the adults. It says it was the kids, right? The foreigners, everyone. All people were there listening to God's word. Now, it tells me that they're reading it. You saw that emphasized. Joshua read all the words. All those millions of people, 99% of them didn't know how to read. Joshua did. So he read it to them. And he was reading God's word, and they're listening to it. And it's important that they're understanding. They're gaining it by this way, because at that point, like I said, they can't read, but they're listening. They're hungry. They're not getting tired in an hour and a half service. They're not getting tired of coming back on the same day, back at night, to go spend more time with God. They're there all day long for several days, listening to God's word. And it's important that I put that picture up there on purpose. Those two mountains. It says that a blessing and a curse. Read all the blessings, read all the curses, read all of them. This was a physical representation. They were going to pass through Shechem, right through the middle. And he says, I want you to understand, when you read God's word, it makes it clear. It's black and white. There's blessings, there's cursings. Moses said this several times throughout Deuteronomy. He says, today I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. I love that God's word has to tell us which one to pick. Because we're dense enough, we don't know which one to pick. Because the reality is, our flesh, our sin nature, thinks sin is attractive. The enemy wants us to choose death, and will do whatever he can to make it attractive to go after that. And so God's word is what makes it clear to us. As we read God's word, it illuminates to us, and it says, all right, here, I'm setting before you two options. Lots of times, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I'm the only one in this room. Sometimes I'm about to make a decision, and I feel like I'm standing before a plane, flat. I have no idea what God wants to do. Oh my goodness, what is the right thing? What is the God way? I don't know. What should I do? Praise God, I can read Scripture, and it'll show me where the blessings of God lie and where the curses of God lie. Where I can be blessed if I choose this, or cursed if I do this. God's word, when we read God's word, it illuminates things. It makes things black and white for us. There's things there, if we don't know what to do, read God's word. It shows us what to do. When I read God's word, I love that it does two things for me. Two things. It comforts and corrects. Sometimes I need more of one than the other. But it's not healthy if all I ever do is come to God's word and look for one. If all I'm ever doing is going to God's word because I need to be comforted, and that's all I know how to use God's word for, I just read it just to comfort me, then I'm not reading it right. Then I'm not reading it the way it was intended, to have blessings and curses, to bring comfort and corrections. God's word is meant to correct us. It's meant to change us. It's meant to expose where there's something wrong in our life. See, I think I heard it at VBS here in Osborne growing up as a kid, that we aren't so much spend so much time reading the Bible as we are to spend time letting the Bible read us. And I didn't understand that when I was a kid. Wait, what? The Bible has to read me? I don't understand. How does the Bible read me? And I think most of you get that. But it's the idea of when we read God's word, we're letting it look into our own lives, exposing our thoughts, our intents, our actions, the words that we speak. They line up with God's word. Do they need to be changed? Do they need to be transformed? Because I got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, right? there's these things that God's word, it, as I prayed this morning, it washes over us. It brings a fresh perspective. Where I didn't know what to do, as I read God's word, it, to me, it kind of raises those mountains up. It raises those things. That, oh, here's the blessing. Oh, okay, I'm going to choose life. Oh, that's the curse. I don't want to go down that road. And so there's these things. When you read God's word, it's important that we understand that, that it does these things for us. It's not okay to read God's word just for comfort. It's also not okay just to read it just to be corrected. We need to be encouraged. We need to be built up. We need to be edified. God's word does both for us. Not only do we need to read it, as I shared with you, the Israelites, 99% of them couldn't read, but they oral tradition. That's before Moses wrote down Genesis. How did Moses wasn't there in the beginning. He wasn't there with Adam and Eve. How did he write it down? Through oral tradition. That's how it was passed down from generation to generation. That's how it still was, even as Moses wrote it down. And so you see this in Deuteronomy 6 through 7. Moses says this, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving to you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." This idea is that you repeat it. The idea isn't just that you read them, but then you recite them. You memorize them. You get it into you. You're reading God's word, but you're allowing it to read you, and you're allowing it to expose the intents of your heart, and you're saying, okay, this is something that I'm just going to keep repeating, something that I'm going to get into me. And so, I'm just going to quickly go to our next verse and our next point. So as we're reading God's word, that's how do we connect? We got to connect it by reading it. To grow and mature our faith, we have to get connected to God's word. And to the first and foremost way to get connected to his word is to read it. That's the first thing. We got to get ourselves exposed to it. The next one, pray God's word, which is the verse right before Joshua, actually not verse right before, Joshua 1:8, the very beginning. We're going to read Joshua 1:8 and 9. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. And this one some of you have memorized. I've memorized. My kids have memorized. Joshua 1:8 and 9. But this idea, as I was just talking about, reciting it, getting it into your mouth. It says it right here. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So again, this is Moses talking to Joshua as he's giving him the reins, saying, all right, you're going to be the next leader. He's saying, all right, Joshua, get these words I've written down. They're straight from God. They're for you, for the people. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Don't let it depart from your mouth, meaning don't speak it. No, chew on it all the time. Meditate on it. If you remember, I remember when I was a youth pastor, I did a huge series on this idea of chewing and meditating on God's word. And the idea of chewing the cud, and I've shared that with you guys before too, that how a cow eats grass. It rips it out of the ground, chews on it in its mouth, swallows it, goes into its stomach, regurgitates it, puts it back in its mouth, chews on it some more, swallows it, goes into another stomach, regurgitates. It chews the cud. It's constantly chewing that same grass over and over and over again, getting all the nourishments, getting every vitamin, getting everything it can out of that grass that it just ripped out of the ground. It's the same thing. Idea of meditating on God's word is we read it, and then we repeat it. We say it again, chew it again. You'd be a fool to say, well, I've read the Bible all through once, so I'm good. I don't need to read it anymore. No. Read it. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Just keep reading it. Recite it over and over again. When you're, as you heard Joshua saying, with your children, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you're on your way to work, no matter what you're doing, let it be on your lips. We sang that song this morning, praise ever be on my lips. This idea of praise and worship being on our lips. Well, let God's word also be on our lips. And so this idea of prayer, we've got to learn how to pray God's word. Not only do we need to read it and get it in us and I digest it and get it a part of us, this idea in our mission statement, it says to embrace his promises. The idea of promises is God's word. To embrace his promise, to embrace truth. The idea is that we accept it. We went through this definition. To embrace means you accept the truth. That I believe this is the infallible word of God. I believe this is the truth and nothing but the truth. I believe it's an absolute truth. It's not just relative. Well, it was for people 2,000 years ago, and it still kind of applies today. No, it's absolute truth. This does not change. It's my standard. This is what I live by. And so God's word is the standard. I want to embrace it. I accept it, but I also want to get it in me. I want to read God's word. I want it to get it inside of me, where it's just a part of who I am. The idea that I'm embracing it, hugging it, kissing it. Just yesterday, I was driving my daughter nuts. She even wrote a note yesterday on her door and said, "Dad, go read the note I wrote on the door." And it says, "Absolutely no kissing in this bedroom. You know, you can only kiss mom at night after I go to bed." Because I love it. So on purpose, every time she walks in the room, I give Jen a kiss. "Oh, Dad, gross." And so just a couple days ago, Jen had just put her makeup on, just done her lipstick, and she had this new lipstick that was, I don't know, super shiny and sticky. And just put it on, and then Noelle walks in the room. So, of course, I go and give Jen a big one. And then it's all over me now, right? The lipstick is all over me. But, of course, that's what I mean. Don't let this book of law, let it become a part of you. Meditate on it. Get it on you. Wear it. If you read a couple of verses before, it says they actually did this. It says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Put it as a frontlet between your eyes. Wear it on your wrist. These phylacteries that these Jewish people, they would actually write scripture, put it on a piece of paper, and wear it on their forehead. Wear it on the wrist. Put it on the doorpost. You guys have been to a Jewish home? They have scripture written in a little mezuzah, and they put it there. And it's scripture is physically there to remind them. This is God's word. This is what I live by. This is standard. They're getting it a part of their lives no matter what. They can't get enough of God's word. That's what I want us. That's my prayer at Osmond Neighbor Church, is that God would stir within us a hunger for more of God's word. That we want to eat more of it. We want to digest more of it. We want more of it getting in us. That it's attractive. Just like my wife to me, she's attractive. I want her on me, right? You know, I want to wear her. Yeah, I'm getting careful where I'm going here, right? But the idea is, I love my wife. I want to love God's word. I want us as a church to love God's word. I want us to spend time, if we love it, we're going to spend time reading it. We've got to spend time reading it. But the thing is, not just reading it, but now praying it. This idea of praying it, where we're reciting it, where it's coming out of our mouth. You know, if you read through scripture, most of the scriptures that God honors and answers are prayers. Did I say that right? Most of the prayers that God answers, most of the prayers that God honors are prayers that are straight scripture. You have this righteous man of God. You have Moses, where God was about to annihilate and wipe out all the Israelites and say, "I'm starting all over. I'm starting with you, Moses, just to get rid of these people." And Moses, what does he do? He prays. He says, no, God, wait. You said, your word says this. This is what you promised. And his prayers are honored. His prayers are answered because he's praying God's word. You see, almost every prayer in here is straight scripture. I would love for us to learn how to pray scripture. There's a book that I have that I love, Prayers That Avail Much. A couple of our prayer nights here, we use those. We just photocopied them straight from that book, typed and retyped them, and put them here for you guys to read, where someone has done the work, where they have a whole, if whatever you're going through, here's a prayer you can pray, you know, a couple paragraphs, 2-3 paragraphs long, and it's jam-packed full of about 15 verses that prayer is praying. That's what I want us to learn, how to pray God's word. Not just read it, but actually where it comes out of our mouth, where we're praying it. You know, there's things where God, just as examples, God prophesied over Jacob that he would be the blessed one, not his older brother Esau. He prophesied before Jacob was born that he was going to be the blessed child. But it wasn't until Jacob took hold of that promise, wrestled with God and prayed all night long and appropriated that blessing, that it became his own, that he actually lived it. There's this idea where, this word I share with you, there's at least 3,000 promises in here. At least 3,000 promises in here. And I get, some people might say, well, yeah, some of those promises are specific to Jacob, specific people thousands of years ago to their situation. But Paul says in Corinthians that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, it is okay to appropriate one of these promises in God's word. It's like, I read this on, you can Google it. I forget the exact number, but it's something like this. Since 2005 till today, there's about $40 billion of unredeemed gift cards. People have bought money. People went, this Christmas, you probably went and bought a gift card. You paid $50 and you gave it to somebody. And it's just sitting in a drawer somewhere, doing them no good. Same thing. There's promises here waiting for us to get a hold of them. $40 billion for waiting for someone to redeem. 3,000 promises in here waiting for God. God's waiting for you to redeem them. He's waiting for you to say, I want that promise. That's mine. God, this is what you said in your word. You promised that if this, then this. It's important that we spend time reading God's word so we know what his promises are. It's important that we spend time praying his word. I think about my own kids. I think about how it says when I'm praying for my kids, I want to pray scripture. Psalms 127 says that children are like an arrow in the hand, right? They're like a quiver, they're a hand and an arrow. When I'm praying, I'm saying, God, help me. So many times I don't know how to be a good parent. But your word says that you've given me children, they're a blessing from you, and they're to be like an arrow. God, help me to shoot my kids in a straight direction. I don't want to confuse them. I want to live my life like a good example, that they see Dad, a straight, honest, integrous man, that they would become straight arrows, that they'd be able to hit the target. That sin, you guys know the idea, sin is anything that misses the bullseye. Sin is anything that misses the target. I want my children not to sin against God. I want them to hide God's word in their heart that might not sin against God. God, help me to shoot my kids like a straight arrow. Just using scripture. No matter what scripture you use, you can appropriate that. Pull that into your life. As you're reading, that's my goal for us as a church, is as we spend more time reading God's word, that we say, okay, great, instead of just putting on a checklist, I read God's word, actually spend at least just a couple minutes. How can I pray that scripture that I just read? How can I pray that right now? How can I pray that over somebody, over myself? I think about prayer often as a conversation. There's times when I'm praying where I'm just pouring my heart out. Some people have seen me where I'm a snotty mess. I'm just in God's presence. I'm just praying, talking to God. Sometimes it's very conversational. It's like I'm talking to a friend. While I'm driving my work truck, I have a lot of conversational prayers with God. Sometimes I think I'm just talking to myself, and all of a sudden God will interject. Oh, yeah, that's right, God. That's a good point. Okay, let me talk to you about that. But it's conversational. And I was thinking about this. You know who the people I love to have a conversation with? Is people that like to talk about things that I like to talk about. They ask me about my kids. Ooh, I like to talk about my kids. They ask me about the 49ers. Oh, yeah, I'll talk about the 49ers. That's fun. I'm interested in that. Boo. I'm interested in those things. If you want to talk about botany, I'm not really that interested. I'll try my best to try to be nice to you and talk about it, but I'm not really interested in that. You want to engage in conversation with God? Maybe read and figure out what he likes to talk about. Maybe ask him questions according to his word. You want to have a conversation with God? Ask him. God, I just read this. I have no idea what that means. He loves those kind of conversations. He loves talking about his word. So if you feel distant, I guess going back to all these things, be strong and courageous, right? All these things we're getting into. Yeah, we'll get there. Actually, let's go quick. The next one. So we're talking about RPGs, right? We got to read. We got to pray God's word. And we got to go and do God's word. So Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, I did that one already. You shall meditate on day and night. Let's keep going. That you may observe to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Joshua 1:9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God's word, his command, is to go. And as you go, be strong and courageous. Go and do what I've commanded you. Go and make disciples. The idea is go do this. Don't just get your head puffed up full of knowledge, because knowledge puffs up. And God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's something about obedience, that God loves obedience over sacrifice. There's something about, it would be great to spend time reading and knowing all of what God's word says to do. But I would rather for us to do all what we know already in God's word. Is that making sense? Sometimes we think we need to know more of God's word. Sometimes we just need to do what we know of God's word. I think if we just did what we knew, we'd be in good standing. I can't help but think of the last time. I'm so bad with names. In Mendes, Tom and Rebecca and Mende were here several years ago. And they were talking about how in their church, when they get new disciples in Africa, people that didn't know the word, didn't know how to read, they would just share with them maybe two or three principles from God's word, and that's it. Let them go live that out first. Don't let them get a whole doctrine teaching on all the Bible. Just see if they can live those three things out. Can they actually do what God's word actually says? The part they know, are they actually doing? Once they do those things, okay, then we'll give them some more knowledge. But until they can do what they know, I'm not going to give them more knowledge because it's not helpful for them. And he's saying, man, in the American church, you guys are inundated with knowledge, with sermons all day long. I listen to sermons almost every day of the week. I'm getting all this knowledge, but I'm actually doing it? I'm actually going and doing what God's word says because he loves obedience over sacrifice. He loves us not just getting knowledge, but actually doing it. And so there's this thing. He says, be strong and courageous. The command is to go and to be strong and courageous. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not courageous and bold when I don't know what I'm doing. At work, here's your pastor. When there's things where I don't know what to do and I don't know how to do it, it doesn't come natural for me to just be bold and brave and strong and courageous. No, I got to know what to do first. So let me go spend time in God's word. Let me find out what his word says. Once I know what he wants me to do, there's this increase of strength, this increase of boldness. Okay, well, God's word says this. I don't fully understand it all, but it says this, so I'm just going to go do what it says. There's a level of boldness that comes when I actually know what his word says. My boldness and my strength actually skyrockets when I start to pray his word. When I start to build myself up with his promises, with the truth of his word, and I'm praying his word, this strength comes over me. Oh God, this is what you said. This is what you promised. I'm reminding myself, but I'm also reminding God. And I'm sensing his pleasure as I'm praying and talking to him about what he wants to talk about. I feel empowered to go do it now. So if you ever don't feel strong and courageous, can I encourage you? Maybe go read his word. Maybe go pray his word. And I got to hit this before I finish. There's a lot I didn't cover, but I don't want this to come across at all where it's, you need to spend more time reading God's word. If you don't, then you should feel shame and guilt. No, let me really quick give you a testimony. This last weekend when I was gone in Mammoth, as the vacation was kind of coming to an end, I thought about how that day I didn't spend any time, your pastor didn't spend any time that day reading God's word. I'm confessing, I'm being honest with you. I didn't spend any time opening up my Bible app or opening up my actual physical Bible to read God's word. And I started to feel convicted, and it went beyond conviction to a little bit of guilt and shame, condemnation. And so I spent time with God. Of course, you know, forgive me, God, forgive me. And I felt God say, why are you asking forgiveness, Ryan? Go back, think about it. And he reminded me of a few things throughout the day. Maybe you didn't read my word today, but did you do any of it? Did you speak it? And it began to remind me. Some of you, as I share about to share this, you think, oh, it's because you're a pastor. Okay, I'll give you a little bit. Maybe it's because I'm a pastor. But I don't think so. I think it's because I have a relationship with God. I'm in pursuit of this relationship with God, and I've embraced his truth all my life. His word, it's in me. It's in me. I want to live it. I don't want to just read it. And so I looked throughout that day, and I realized there was times that I corrected my kids. And it wasn't out of frustration. There's times where I've corrected my kids because they get on my nerves, and I correct them in my flesh. But that day, God reminded me. I can remember I pulled one of my sons to the side, brought him on my lap, just talked in his ear for a little bit. She said, you know what? I need you to work on this. I talked to him in a loving way. I corrected him. And he looked at me and he turned around and looked in my eyes. Okay, Dad, no problem. But it was God's word. I was telling him in his ear. I was whispering to him what God's word says. I'm not telling you because Dad's mad at you. I'm not telling you because it's my way or the highway. I'm telling you because there's a higher standard than what Dad wants. This is what God's word says. And I know that you love God. This is what I was telling my kid. I was telling my son. I know that you love God. And I know that you know his word. And this is what it says. So can you live according to his word? And there was a smile on his face where it wasn't this reprimand where he felt beat up. Yeah, Dad, I want to do that. And he corrected his behavior that day. That my kids, they were, Benjamin will know, they were digging in the snow. There was this golf mini golf course, and they were digging the snow for probably over an hour. They're building all these tunnels and having fun all together. All these kids, my four kids and two other kids, they're digging and having fun for an hour, laughing and building in the snow. And it was time to leave. I said, all right, come on, let's go get in the cars. We got in the cars. As we're getting in the cars, they saw these old, these older kids, bullies we'll call them, that they came over with their golf clubs and with their boots. And as soon as the kids just got in the car, it was. You could tell it was malicious. It was bad. They went over there and just started stomping on all the snow, all the things they'd made, crashing them down. My kids were crushed. Dad, what are they doing? Can you go stop them? Go tell them to stop. And they were mad. Dad, we worked so hard on that. And yeah, as a dad, I wanted to defend. But you know what came? Scripture came to me right away. You know what, guys? You know what Paul says? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That when we're sinners, the most wretched thing I've done, God's grace, he just ups his grace. He just forgives me. No matter what we do, we can't deplete him of his grace. His grace always abounds. No matter Paul, the murderer, all these different things, no matter how bad you pile up sins on someone's life, God's grace abounds. It goes over that. Now the thing is, we're called to be created in his image. We are created in his image. We're called to be conformed to his image. Are you guys willing to extend grace to someone who doesn't deserve it? You're right, those boys, they were being mean and nasty. That was sin. You saw sin right in front of you. But can you have grace well up in your heart? Say, God, I forgive them. God bless their day today. I didn't read God's word that day, but I want to do it. This is not me patting my back. I'm using this because I want some of you not to be condemned. Don't beat yourself up when you didn't spend time reading God's word today. Actually, if you feel that thought, then say, God, how can I pray your word right now? What words have I memorized? Because I think most of this room, we have at least a Bible verse memorized. Even as John 3:16, you got part of it memorized. Then just recite it. Begin to pray it. God, you says that you love the world, which includes me. I don't understand. Just pray that prayer. I believe in you, Jesus. Would you forgive me? Whatever scriptures you know, just begin to pray it. Make it real. Appropriate into the real situations of your life. This sermon this morning, as I was reading these verses, it says, today, choose. Today I put before you a blessing and a curse. Today, choose life. Today, God's word is being presented to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it go in one ear and out the other? Or are you going to appropriate it and say, God, I need your word. I want to hunger and thirst for more of it. I do want to spend time reading it. Help me. Just like the prayer of that one man, he says, God, I believe. Help my unbelief. There's part of me that believes. There's so much of me that doesn't. God, there's part of me that's hungry for your word. And there's so much of me that's hungry for other things. Help. Help, God. He loves those prayers. If you're honest and sincere, not these religious prayers. Because that's what I realized. God was exposing, it was this religious, front. Where I want to make sure I have a good reputation, that I read God's word every day. And I felt guilty, and I felt condemned by the enemy and my own flesh. That I didn't read God's word. But praise God, I've hid it in my heart. I want to appropriate, I want to bring it out, I want to regurgitate it, I want to chew on it all the day long. I want to be a doer of God's word. How do we grow in our faith? It's through reading his word, praying his word, going and doing his word. RPGs. And as we close this service, we're going to end with a time of leaders up front to pray with you with whatever you need. And I mean whatever. I've got things in my life I need prayer for. I don't think there's anyone in this room that you could say, no, I don't need prayer for anything. If you need prayer, you just want prayer, we want to pray with you. But the second thing I want to make sure I mention is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because I could have just given this whole sermon on RPGs, but there's something specific going on in your life that maybe was just this random thing I said that God was speaking to you. Because God cares. Because God sees you. He knows you. He wants to be brought into your life. He's interested in every part of your life. And maybe today you need to appropriate that. Maybe there's something that you need to respond and just say, God, I need that. And we're just going to have some leaders, come on forward, that are willing to pray with you. Maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe that's someone in this room. I feel like you look in front of you and you don't know what choice to make. There's no mountains where it looks like a blessing or curse. You're just lost. There's some people up here that they know God's word and they want to pray a blessing over you. They want to encourage you, build you up. Come, don't lose this opportunity to have someone just pray God's word, because these people, they're going to pray God's word right over you.